Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Beis, the very last daf of the 8th parak, and we begin the 9th parak of Masach Shabbos today. So the conclusion of the 8th parak is much like the rest of the 8th parak has been. We're discussing shiurim of different things that you're chayiv for hotza'a on. And yesterday we got into a whole discussion about kinuach bebeis hakisei, about items that should be used, should not be used when cleaning oneself in the Beis HaKiseh. So we're going to discuss, we're going to continue along that theme for a little while. And then the beginning of the ninth parak is a totally different topic. So we are holding three lines from the top of the page, I believe, on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph at the two dots. Amalei Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei. Rav Huna told his son Rabba, "My time lo shchichas kamei Rav Chista demechad dan shmaitei. How come you haven't been learning by Rav Chista? Rav Chista is very sharp. He's a good person to learn by. How come you haven't gone to his shiurim? Samalei, my ezel l'gabei. Why should I go bother going to Rav Chista's shiurim? D'chiyazul l'gabei. When I go to his shiurim, mostly b'mili di alma. All he talks about is he talks about all sorts of things that are just general worldly matters that aren't Torah. I'm interested in learning Torah, so why would I go to Rav Chista's shiurim? I'll give you an example. These are the types of things that he tells me. Armalei manda ayil abeis hakisei. He says that when someone goes to the bathroom, lo leisiv bahadei v'lo litrach tvei. He says you shouldn't sit down forcefully in the beis hakisei, nor should you exert yourself too much when going to the bathroom. And he explains the high karkashta atlas shina yosef, and he gives a biology lesson. And he tells me how the rectum sits on three teeth, which whatever it is, it's not teeth, but that's what literally it means. Three muscles that are in that area, that are in the rectal area. So dilma mishtamta shini de karkashta, and the reason that you shouldn't sit down with such great force, or the reason you shouldn't exert yourself too much, is that you're afraid you're going to pull a muscle over there. One of the muscles are going to slip out over there. But that's going to be dangerous. So why should I bother going to a shir if that's what he's talking about in shir? So I'm like, who asik b'chayi debriyasa va'at amrit b'mili di'alma? He's involved in the lives of people. He's telling you how to live life, and you say that that's just mili di'alma, that's something worldly that you're not interested in. Kol shkein zil gabei, then kal v'chomer you should go to him. He's someone that you need to go to. So what's the kol shkein zil gabei? What's the message that he's telling him? Isn't there, if you want to learn biology, so then go to medical school. So why is he telling him that this is Rav Chista is the person that he should go to just because he's interested in Chayei Debriyasa? So a couple of possibilities. That one possibility is that maybe he's telling him, now obviously he's not just telling you ideas about maintaining good health. He's telling you very deep ideas about Torah and about the world, and he's couching it in phrases that are bederech remez. He's teaching you very deep things, and that's why kol shkein zil gabei, you got to go to him because he's teaching you things that nobody else can teach you. I mean, he's teaching you things bederech remez that he has b'mesorah that other people don't have b'mesorah. Then you'd have to find out what exactly the remez is that he's referring to over here. But that's how one group of achronim tries to suggest that this is not stam mili di alma. This is something that Pederach Remez relates to how the world operates, that it's a Atlas Shini Yosef really means on Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, and there's a Remez to everything in this line. The other, just more Pashup Shat level, in general, when a Talmud is convinced that his Rebbe is interested in his welfare, in his overall welfare, so then he's going to be much more likely to buy into the Rebbe's Torah, because the Rebbe's interested in giving me what's good for me, so he's going to be more trusting that the Torah is what's good for him, that the Rebbe's not interested in being out to get him, or in being mean to him, or being difficult. He just wants what's best for him. How does he prove it? Because he always wants what's best for him. He's trying to teach him how to live a healthy life. He's trying to tell him good bits of advice in general. So that will develop a certain level of trust. So anyway, whatever, there are other possibilities as well, but that's what he told him, that he's doing something very important by teaching you how to live life, and it's important that you go learn by him. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss, what if you have different options of what to use to clean oneself? So what's the better of the two options? So if a person has tsrar v'cheres, he has a pebble and he has cheres, he has a piece of pottery, so what's better to use? So if huna amr mekanech b'tsrar, Rav Huna says, use the rock, don't use the cheres. Rav Chista amar mekanech becheres, veim mekanech betzror. Rav Chista says, no, use the cheres, don't use the tzror. excuse me, Meisvei, Hayulufanim Tzrar V'Cheres, but we have a brisa that says that if you have Tzrar V'Cheres, Mekaneach V'Cheres, Vein Mekaneach B'Tzrar, it says explicitly, use the Cheres, don't use the Tzrar, Tiyufta de Rav Huna. Isn't this a Tiyufta on Rav Huna? Because Rav Huna is the one that said the opposite. Rav Huna said you should use the Tzrar. So Tirgum Raf from Bar Papa, Kamei de Rav Chista, Libet Rav Huna, Bu'ugne Kelim. Maybe Rav Huna would say that that's talking about the rims of the Kelim. Why? What's special about the rims of the Kelim? It says, Rashi Shehim Chalakim Ve'inon Mekarenes Habasar. They are smooth and therefore won't be dangerous. They won't tear into one's skin. But Rav Huna's hesitation of using Cheres was dafka when it was not smooth, when it had a jagged edge, and he was worried that it would tear into one's flesh and tear into one's skin. That's why he didn't like it. But if you have smooth piece of cheres, then yes, then that's what the Bryce is talking about. Better a smooth piece of cheres than a pebble. Ha'ilufan of tsrarva asavim. Let's say the choice is something else, not tsrar and cheres. Your choice is a pebble or grass. So Rav Chisav Rav Amnuna, Machlokas Rav Chisav Rav Amnuna, Chadom Mekanech Betzar Vein Mekanech Basavim. So one opinion says, use the pebble, not the grass. Zakt Rashi, why not the grass? Sha'asavim Lachim V'chotchen Es Habasar. The grass is moist and can also cut into the skin. V'Rabu Seinem Afarshim Mishum Tlisha. But he says, my Rebbeim say that it's because of Tlisha, that you're gonna uproot the grass, you're gonna pull it out. Ve'en Yodei Mahu Di'iba Asavim Mechubarin Mi'ika Mandashari. I don't know what my Rebbeim are talking about, because if we're talking about grass that's still attached to the ground, who would argue? Who would say that it's mutter? Ukumudumani demukmi labu mechubaran mekaneach ben bechiburan. So he says, they must be assuming that we're talking about grass that's still attached to the ground, and you're wiping with it without pulling it out. You're trying to wipe with it while it's still attached, and the concern is that you might come to detach it. That's the way Rabbi Seinu must understand this Gemara. In general, you have to question, what's this Gemara talking about when the Gemara gives the different options? Are we talking about only on Shabbos where you have these options? Which one is better? Or are we talking about during the week? So from Rashi's Rebbeim's perspective, it's clearly a Shabbos issue. It's not just about what's healthy, what's not healthy. From Rashi's perspective, that asavim lachem v'chot chenes habasar, it's got nothing to do with Shabbos. That's just an issue of advice in good health. V'chadomer, the other opinion says back in the Gemara, mekaneach basavim mein mekaneach b'tzrar. They should use grass, you should not use tzrar. Says Rashi again, the lav bar tiltulhu, that tzrar is muktza. So you should use the grass while still attached and don't move them. And don't worry about shimush b'mechubar on Shabbos, that you're using that which is attached to the ground. Because only certain types of mechubar are usher to be mishamish, are usher to use and to handle. Other types of mechubar you're allowed to use. So grass is going to be okay. But don't we learn that if you use anything flammable, so it's going to be very dangerous. The muscles in the rectal area are going to come loose, so that's a very dangerous thing to do. You're not supposed to use any flammable material as toilet paper, and grass is very flammable, so how can we suggest to use grass? It says, Gemara lo kasha, that's not really a kasha. Habalach and habiyevation. When grass is moist, it's not flammable. When grass is dry, it's flammable. So when we say not to use flammable material, that's dry grass. When we say that you're allowed to use grass, that's moist grass. So you're not allowed to use flammable material. I remember in camp when we used to make bonfires and camp and cookouts, whatever, what would they use to get the fire going? Take rolls of toilet paper and they throw it in there, and that would get the fire going. There's nothing more flammable than toilet paper. So what's pshat? How do we use toilet paper, considering that you're not supposed to use flammable material? So the Rama already in Simin Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch quotes all these la'alacha, not to use cheres, not to use flammable material, something that's on shaletas bo. I don't think this is one of the things that Svarim are makvid about. The Rama writes that nowadays we're not worried about any of these things. We're knowing already to be mekanech v'davar or sholet bo. The Magen Avraham says shomer p'sayim Hashem, that Kodesh Baruch Hu guards over simple people, and we just do what people do, and Hashem protects us. So we're allowed to. So that it's already recorded in the Rama that that's already our minhag, not to be makvid about this issue. Now the Gemara moves on to give advice to someone who is constipated. Someone has to go to the bathroom, And he can't, and he doesn't go to the, or not just constipated, we can give advice about a variety of bathroom-related health issues. So someone has to go to the bathroom and doesn't. Rav Chisra Ravina, Chara Maruach Rasha, let us suppose. So one opinion says, by holding himself in, he's going to cause himself to have bad breath. V'chara Maruach Zua, Mashal, let us suppose. The other says that he's going to have bad body odor. His sweat is going to be very smelly. Tiny Kamandiyam Maruach Zua, Mashal, let us suppose. We have a Braisa that says that, that supports the idea that it's going to be Ruach Zuama, that he's going to have this bad body odor. Titania nitzrach l'nekava va'ochel, because it says in the Braisa, if someone has to go to the bathroom and eats while he has to go to the bathroom, doma l'tanur shisikuhu al gav afara, it's like an oven that was lit up again, that was fired up on top of its ashes, meaning instead of cleaning out the ashes first and then lighting up the oven, they leave the ashes in and light up the oven again. So that's the, you see the mashal and nimshal is very clear. Someone has to go to the bathroom, instead of emptying his stomach first and then refilling his stomach, he leaves all the garbage in his stomach and while refilling it already. Vizuhi tchilas ruach zuama. That's what the Bryce says, this is the beginning of ruach zuama. This is where bad body odor comes from. What if a person has to go to the bathroom, but he's simply unable to? He can't go to the bathroom. So Rav Chisda says what he should do is he should move around a lot. Stand, sit, keep changing his position, move around. Rav Charmin Adar Amar Yistalik Litzdadin. He should pace back and forth, he should go off to the sides. Rashi says, he tried to go to the bathroom on this side of the house, go to the other side of the house, take a walk, and try over there as well. Rav Hamnuna Amar Yimashrish Betzor Boso Makom. Rav Hamnuna says a third bit of advice. He says you should try to manually open the rectal area. Rabbanan Amri Yasiach Daito. Fourth bit of advice, the Rabbanan say, just try to forget about it. Forget that you have to go to the bathroom. Just go about your day, and that should help. So Amar Leravach Abrei Rav Leravashi. He says, no, if you just try to forget about it, then for sure you're not going to be able to go to the bathroom. How's that going to work? How's that good advice? So I'm like, no, he said, you misunderstood. I'm really saying the opposite of what you thought I was saying. What I'm trying to say is that a lot of times a person is not able to go to the bathroom because he's thinking about too many other things at the same time. So try to be masiach das from everything else and be singularly focused on what you're trying to do, and then you're going to be much more successful. So those are the four bits of advice that we have about a person who's constipated, what to do to go to enable himself to go to the bathroom, either stand up and sit down a lot, or to be mistalik, let's study and walk from one side of the house to the other side of the house, to manually do something to himself, or to be masiach das, to focus only on that. Amar of Yirmiyahu Midifti v'didi chazi liyahu taya dekam v'yasev dekam v'yasev ad deshafach kikadera. He said, I actually once saw a fellow, an Arab merchant, who when he was constipated, he would stand up, sit down, he had this whole ritual, until he was shafach kikadera, poured out of him like a pot. It was worked very well. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, ha'nichnas l'su'udas keva, if a person goes into a su'udas keva, yahalich yud pa'amim shel arba amos, before sitting down to his big meal, he should take 10 little walks of 4 amos each. Va'amrila dalid pa'amim shel eser amos. Others say, no, he should take 4 walks of 10 amos each, meaning pace back and forth 10 amos each way 4 times. Vinifnev, and then you should go to the bathroom. Vinichnas v'yeshiv b'makomo, and then go to the suuda. Don't go to the suuda before doing this whole this whole walk and going to the bathroom. You should only go to the suuda after that. Why? What does this have to do with the suuda? Says Rashi, ugenayhu lo im starich lamod min asuuda v'lifnos, because we assume that it's going to be embarrassing for him if he's going to have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the suuda. So we dafka come up with a bit of advice of how he's going to manage to not go to the bathroom during the Suda, so he doesn't have to embarrass himself and excuse himself in the middle of the Suda that he has to go to the bathroom. So it sounds like we're talking about anybody, that it's not only for Talmidei Chachamim, it's anybody. If you're going to a Suda, you don't want to embarrass yourself. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Deos, Halacha Beis, writes, V'lo yochalat sheyivdok atzma yafa yafa, shemi yetzaruch l'nekavav. Person shouldn't eat until he makes sure that he doesn't have to go to the bathroom, because you don't want to have to go to the bathroom during the meal. And the Magen Avraham says that the reason is al pi sod. The Magen Avraham in Kuf Nun Zayin Sif Gan Gimel says that there's some sort of Kabbalistic reason, and he quotes a Zohar in Parshas Truma. But in the Pirush Rabbeinu Prachya, he writes that we're talking about an dafka nachilas keva that's going to last a very long time, and it's the darkei talmidei chachamim lios noim b'chol maaseihem. Rabbeinu Prachya writes that it's because talmidei Chachamim are supposed to behave in a way that makes others want to be mistabik to Talmidei Chachamim, makes others want to emulate Talmidei Chachamim and want to spend more time with Talmidei Chachamim. So it would be beneath their dignity if they're at these long seudos and they're always excusing themselves to go to the bathroom. So dafka Talmidei Chachamim need to be more careful about this so that they'll appear to be more dignified in front of other people. That's what Rabbeinu Prachi understands. So there is a tshuva in the Tshuva Sedesh and Simut HaZayin. He says, why is it that there is a whole set of halachos and maseches brachos about someone who has to pass gas, let's say, in the middle of davening? So the Gemara in Brachos goes through a whole series of halachos of what you're supposed to do. Someone who's omid b'tfila bikesh l'satesh, you should be marchik dalet amos. Gemara Brachos daf chav dalet. You should walk 4 amos away in the middle of Yishmon Esrei. So he says, how come I've never seen anyone do that? We never see anyone, and we're not knowing that way anymore for people to walk away 4 amos. And so he says that the reason is because it's very embarrassing, and that everyone's going to realize that you're walking 4 amos dafka for that reason. And kal v'chomer, if you're the shliach tzibur, it's going to be even more embarrassing. It's not a situation that you want to be in. And the Truma Sedeshim brings the raya from our Rashi that it's a genai that you're going to have to go in the middle of a su'uda. It's a genai to have to go to the bathroom kol shkein in the middle of davening. If you're going to have to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to relieve oneself in some way. You're not going to have a guf naki. That's even a bigger genai. So gadol kavod abrios. So we waive that entire area of halacha just because of the kavod abrios issue. That's what the Truma Sedeshen writes. Someone told me, I have a friend who's a rav in a shul, and he said that it was Yom Na'arayim, and it was the middle of Chazar Sashat, so I think Musaf of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or something, and the Shliach Tzibur called over the rabbi, and he went over, and the Shliach Tzibur pointed to Asher Yatzar in his siddur. And I was like, what? No, you don't say Asher Yatzar. Now I said, no. He was pointed, he needed to go to the bathroom. He didn't know what to do. He was right in the middle of the day. He had another 2 hours of davening ahead of him. He didn't know what to do. Obviously, that was a pretty embarrassing moment for the Shliach Tzibur. So that's something that we try to spare a person. Such embarrassments, that's what the Truma Sedeshen says, that that we're no longer knowing based on our Rashi. Okay, says the Mishnah, last Mishnah of the Perek. Cheres kidei litein bin patzim lechaver. 3 shitos about how large a piece of cheres one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. First shita is the size of cheres that you would put between wooden boards to make sure the boards don't warp. You don't want them to warp over time, so you put these little pieces of pottery to sort of hold them up so that they don't sink in over the course of time. So that's the size of a piece of cheres for which you're chayiv. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Meir Omer kidei lachtos bo sa'ar. The size of cheres that you would use to stoke a fire. Rabbi Yossi Omer kidei lekabel bo revius. The size of a cheres that could hold a revius of liquid. Amar Rabbi Meir, afal pishein raya ledavar zech ledavar. So Rabbi Meir says, I don't have a raya to my shita that it's kedei lachtos bo sa'ar, but there is a zecher in the pasuk. There's a remez in the pasuk. Pasuk says, lo yetze bimechitaso cheres lachtos eish mikod. That a person shouldn't, you will not even find amongst its pieces, amongst the churban and the destruction, a cheres lachtos eish mikod. What are you going to do with the cheres? Lachtos eish, to be chota eish, to stoke a fire. So you see that a cheres, the smallest thing we could think of that's useful for a piece of cheres, is lachtos eish. So it's a remez in the pasuk. So Amar le Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Misham raya, really you're going to bring me a pasuk from that, you can bring me a raya from that pasuk in Yeshayahu, from that half of the pasuk, go weiter in the pasuk. The pasuk also says, and amongst the pieces of cheres, you're also not going to find velachs of mayim migeve, to scoop up water from a hole. So you see that the same pasuk that tells you one use, the use of cheres that you tried to highlight, of lachtos eish, also tells you the use of cheres that I tried to highlight, that it's about scooping up water. So maybe that's the minimum shear of cheres. It's not a good raya. So frankly, Gemara Yibayiluhu, Shi'ura de Rabbi Meir Nafish or Shi'ura de Rabbi Yossi Nafish? Which shear is the larger shear? Leaving Rabbi Yehuda out, Rabbi Yehuda was the first shita of Kedei Litein Bin Patzim L'Chaveru. Which amongst these two that quote the psukim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, about lachtos ha'or or lekabel revius. Which one is a larger shear? So it says Gemara, mistavra shira de Rabbi Yossi nafish. It's most mistaver that Rabbi Yossi is the larger of the two shiurim, and to be mekabel revius makes sense that you would need a bigger piece of cheres to hold a revius of liquid than you would need to stoke a fire. But in mikra shira de Rabbi Meir nafish. But based on the pasuk that they're quoting, it sounds like Rabbi Meir's shear is a larger shear. Disal gadai de shear de Rabbi Yossi nafish, because if you hold that the shear of Rabbi Yossi is a larger one, layit la b'mana zutra v'hadu layit la b'mana rabba, it doesn't make sense. What's the Navi telling them? You can have such utter destruction, you won't even find a piece of cheres that will be big enough for something, and you mentioned for something very small. And then you say, and not only that, you're not even going to find a piece of cheres big enough, and then you mention for something larger? No, it's backwards. When you want to build up the level of destruction that you're trying to build an image of, you would start with saying that you're not going to find a piece of cheres, a big piece of cheres. Not only that, you're not even going to find a small piece of cheres. That's what you should say. So from the fact that the pasuk starts off by talking about lachtos esh, and then it talks about holding water, it sounds like the holding water is the smaller piece of cheres, not the larger piece of cheres. So Rabbi Masnis Nami lachtos esh mikido gedola. When the Mishnah says lachtos esh, it means from a very large bonfire. So that would be a larger piece of cheres. Rabbi Yossi Amar Misham Raya. So Rabbi Yossi says, what is you think you can bring me a raya from a pasuk that a cheres is used to be chota esh? That very same pasuk also talks about using a cheres to scoop up water. So says Gemara, Shapir Kamal Rabbi Yossi the Rameir. You know, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the Mishnah never told us what Rameir's response is going to be. But Rabbi Yossi seems to have a pretty good taina, right? Rabbi Yossi has a very strong claim against Rameir. What did Rameir think? Rabbi Yossi wasn't going to look for the second half of the pasuk, wasn't going to see what the rest of the pasuk says. What was he trying to pull the wool over his eyes? So Rameir lomi bayu kamer. Rameir was saying, no, the way to read the pasuk is as a lomi bayu. Lomi bayu midi dechashav leinshi delolishtakachle. Not only are you not going to find a piece of cheres that is usable for something that people would normally use it for, like lachtos eish, elafilu midi delolchashav leinshi delolishtakachle. You're not even going to find a piece of cheres that's usable for something that people don't even consider important at all. Meaning what Rameir says to Rabbi Yossi is, yes, I know the pasuk talks about using cheres as a scooper to hold liquid, but I think that the pasuk is highlighting a usage of cheres that is extremely uncommon that people don't care about, and therefore that's not going to be the determinant of the shear of Hotzah on Shabbos, because it's something that people don't care about. First half of the pasuk is something people do care about and would use it for, and that's why it is the determinant of the shear of Hotzah on Shabbos. So Hadron Alach HaMotzi Yayin, that's the end of the 8th parak of Masech Shabbos. Now we begin the 9th parak of Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Akiva. The 9th parak of Masech Shabbos starts out with Rabbi Akiva asking how we know that Avodah Zarah is Metame B'masa, that when you carry Avodah Zarah, even if you're not touching it directly, you have Avodah Zarah in a plastic bag, and you're holding the plastic bag, that you become Tame from carrying the Avodah Zarah. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what in the world is this doing in Masech Shabbos? What's it doing here in Masech Shabbos? Right? What does this have to do with anything? So Rashi right away says, we should we have a whole series of Mishnayos about Minayin. How do I know this halacha? How do I know that halacha? In this series of Mishnayos of Minayin, we're going to have a Minayin Shemrachitzin Asamila. How do I know that you should bathe the area of the Mila and that gets into Shabbos? That even on Shabbos, you're allowed to take care of the baby and you're allowed to do a Mila on Shabbos and you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Lazar, we can get into Perek Rabbi Lazar the Mila where he talks about Machshire Mila that are docha Shabbos. So that's our segue into that conversation about Mila b'Shabbos, is by quoting this whole series of Mishnayos about Minayin, about where do I know various halachos. Very, very distant segue into a discussion of Hilchos Shabbos. And so it says Tosfos on the top, Pirush Mekudesh Nakla Acha Mishum Dabayi L'Misnei Minayin Shemachitzin Es Katan Ve'ein Nira Dim Kein Ba'hu Havalei L'Haschil. Meaning, if it was all about Minayin Ayin Shemarchitz Nesakatan, shouldn't we have started with that Mishnah? And then Agav, that Mishnah about washing the baby, we would then mention Derech Agav, all the other Mishnayos of Minayin? Why start with the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that has absolutely nothing to do with Shabbos? And also, if it's all about getting into the issues of Mila and Shabbos, shouldn't this be in Perek Rav Elazar de Mila? It shouldn't be here. It doesn't belong here. Elanira agav de ton of Lael besof hamotzi kray da smachta gabe cheres nakanami hani kray da smachta vikrad de tizrein who samachlai kray da isilel lo yimase bimachitas cheres. So he says maybe that since the last parak finished off with a mishnah that had an asmachta from a pasuk in the Navi Yeshayahu, so maybe that's the connection over here, that we're quoting mishnayos that have asmachtas to various dinim based on a pasuk. That our Mishnah is also going to quote a pasuk in Yeshayahu in the very same perek of Sefer Yeshayah, perek Lamed of the Sefer, just eight psukim later. So we're mentioning this Mishnah agav the previous Mishnah. Now for us learning the Daf Yomi in the year Tav Shinayim Gimel, it's obvious what it's doing here. It's for our Daf Yomi coincidence, right? Minayin LaAvodah Zarah. Here we are on December 24th, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu drops right in the middle of Masech HaShabbos. Discussion of Avodah Zarah, that's Machlokas Rishonim, whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah. Rambam Paskins it is, that it is Avodah Zarah. Islam, he says, is not Avodah Zarah. In fact, I just heard, I was listening to a shiur, someone, Rav Yamer from Shalavim, said that he heard from Rav Nevensal that not only is one obviously asur to go into a church and mutter to go into a mosque because they're not doing Avodah Zarah in the mosque, Rav Nevensal holds that you're not allowed to eat or drink in a mosque. You're not allowed to do anything. It has a din of a Beis HaKnesses. In that people go there to daven, that people go there to that a guy also has a chiyuv to daven. Moshe writes in the tshuva, a guy also has a chiyuv to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if they go there, if that's a makom that's kavua for people to daven, so that even if it's not Jews, but they're going to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then you have to treat it with a level of dignity like you would treat any makom tefila. I thought that was wild. I never heard such a thing. But anyway, so that's how we get our Daf Yomi coincidence. Minayin LaAvodah Zarah Shem Matam Masa. How do we know that Avodah Zarah is Matam Masa? A couple of other quick ha'aras. In the Sefer Halichos Olam, he says that we have a Mesorah that any time a perek begins with Amar Rabbi Ploni, Amar so-and-so, like Amar Rabbi Akiva, Minayin LaAvodah Zarah, we have a Mesorah that's the halacha. And any time perek begins with Rabbi Ploni Omer, like Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the 19th perek of Shabbos is going to be Rabbi Lazar de Mila, so Rabbi Lazar Omer, we don't paskin like that shita, like we don't paskin like Rabbi Lazar, Machshir Remila being Docha Shabbos. However, over here, the Melech Shlomo points out, it doesn't work, because the Rambam paskins like the Chacham over here, not like Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see in the Gemara, the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. In Hilchos Avos Sotuma, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim, so the rule doesn't seem to work. Also, once we mention we have a perek that starts out with Amar Rabbi Akiva, the name of the perek is Amar Rabbi Akiva, so it's worthwhile mentioning. The Or Zarua writes in his Hakdama to the Sefer Or Zarua that why did he pick the name to a Sefer Or Zarua? Why is that the name of his Sefer? So he says because he was mesupuk about one issue for a while. He wasn't sure how to spell the name Akiva. He wasn't sure, do you spell it Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Hey or Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph? So in the Mishnah, it always appears with an Aleph. Let's say you're writing a get. Should you write Akiva with a Hey at the end or Akiva with an Aleph at the end? He said then he had a dream that in his dream he saw the Pasuk Or Zarua Latzadik Li Yishrei Lev Simcha, and he realized the Sofei Tevos of Zarua Latzadik Li Yishrei Lev Simcha is in order the name Akiva with a Hey at the end. So he said, that's how we knew that he spelled the name Akiva with a hey at the end, not with an aleph at the end. So he was so excited by that he called the Sefer Or Zarua. Niyam Shel Shlomo, in the fourth parak of Gittin, this comes up in, it's very important in Gittin, we need to know how to spell names. So the Yam Shel Shlomo, in the fourth parak of Gittin, says, the Chachili is supposed to write it with a hey, but the evidence kasher with an aleph, because anyway, it's not such a big deal. It's nach, it's not in the letter that's pronounced anyway, so but the evidence kasher with an aleph. Poskim discuss it. It's discussed even in later poskim with a hey, with an aleph, which way to go, but the Or Zarua held that it should be with a hey based on Li Yishrei Lev Simcha. Now, so what's Rabbi Akiva asking about? He's asking about the halacha that avodah zara is metame b'masa kinida. That avodah zara is metame b'masa, just like a nida is metame b'masa. So another quick ha'ara: a number of the achronim, the Chanukah Satorah, the Rebbe of Heschel, was sefer Chanukah, a little tiny kuntras called Chanukah Satorah, one vart sharper than the next. The Rebbe of Heschel was not a Hasidic Rebbe; he was the Rebbe of the Shach and the Taz. Going back centuries, he was a very, very. We don't have much of his Torah in print, but we have this little kuntras, Chanukah Satorah. So he writes that in Parshas Vayetze, Rachel says to her father, "Kilo uchala kumi penecha ki derech nashimli. I can't get up for you because derech nashimli. So I became a nida. I became tameh as a nida." So all the mefarshim are bothered. How could Rachel lie? It was a blatant lie to her father. Right? That's not why she couldn't get up. So the Rebbe of Heschel says that maybe it's connected to this Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says that Avodah Zarah is metame b'masa kinida. That Avodah Zarah is the same tumah as tumas nida. So she was saying, kiderech nashimli. I have the same halacha as a nida right now because I'm sitting on your Avodah Zaras. So it wasn't pure sheker. She was describing her halachic situation rather than a physical situation of what she was sitting on. So that's how the Rebbe of Heschel says. So anyway, so let's see the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, minayin avodah zarah shemitamei b'masa kinida. How do I know? I read that line 6 times already, right? How do I know that avodah zarah is mitamei b'masa just like a nida is mitamei b'masa? Shenemar, because the pasuk says tizreim kimo dava tse tomar lo, that you'll cast it away like a nida. Go out, you say to it. Ma nida mitama. So what's the comparison to a nida? Ma nida mitama b'masa. Af avodah zarah mitama b'masa. Just like a nida is mitama b'masa, so to avodah zarah is mitama b'masa. This idea of tse tomarlo, of telling it to go out, kimo dava, like someone who has a flow, like a nida. There's an interesting ravid at the end of Maseches Tamid, where the ravid quotes that someone who's ishto nida, a Kohen, his wife is a nida, the Ravid says, lo yisa es kapav, shouldn't do birchas kohanim when he's ishto nida. And he says, not only that, Kohen shouldn't go into an ohel hanida. So the Ravid says that maybe, he says, where in the world would we get such a masorah from? Where would they pull such a, there's no din like that in all of Shas, that they have such restrictions on nida. So he says, maybe it somehow relates to this Mishnah, to Rabbi Akiva's connection between nida and avodah zarah, that it's, that dafka, anything that's even mildly associated with avodah zarah, we keep out of our avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, out of our avodah in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Mikdash Ma'at. So maybe a Kohen being Mevarech Chal Yisrael is something that we shun when he has a connection to Nida, because there's some connection between Nida and avodah zarah. Of course, the problem with that is we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. I mean, aside from the fact that it's a bit of a stretch to begin with, even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva anyway. The Rambam Paskins like the Chachamim, but the Ravid mentions our Mishnah as a possible source for that. There were different attitudes clearly in Rishonim and Nachronim over time toward how to treat a nida, and to what level one distances oneself from a nida. So that's that in that pasuk, Rabbi Akiva sees the connection that teaches us that avodah zarah is mitame midrabah. The Tumah of Avodah Zarah is not Midaraisa, it's Midrabanan. But that Avodah Zarah is Metame like Anida. Says the Gemara, Tranas, and we have a Mishnah. Mishaya Beso, Samuch la Avodah Zarah, Vinafa. Let's say a person has a house that's Samuch to Avodah Zarah, that's adjacent to Avodah Zarah, and the wall falls down. So the wall was a wall of Avodah Zarah, so now Asur Levnoso, he's not allowed to rebuild that wall. So Rashi says we're talking about a guy who lives in an attached house, so one of his walls is also the wall of a base Avodah Zarah. That the bias itself in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Zayin, Rashi says it means, what's a base of Avodah Zarah? That the bias itself is Neva, that they actually worship the house, they worship the temple. Over here it sounds that, no, that it's not that they're worshipping the temple, it's that the house goes to house Avodah Zarah, that the wall is used as one of the walls of a bias which houses Avodah Zarah, but not that the bias itself is Avodah Zarah. The Ramban writes in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel that the correct pshat is that when the bias itself is Ne'avad, then it's Metameh. But when it's only mishamish avodah zarah, when it only holds an avodah zarah, then it's not mitame. The Shach in Yardeis in Kuf Mem Gimel says the halacha, it's asr to build a wall that's mahane an avodah zarah, and it makes no difference whether the bias itself is being worshipped, or if it's only being mishamish an avodah zarah, it's only holding an avodah zarah, you're not allowed to be mahane an avodah zarah. I remember a number of years ago, someone called me up for Rav Shechter's phone number, because Rabbi Spiegel wanted Rav Shechter's phone number because someone had asked his brother, someone was chosen to be the architect of a church that Mel Gibson was building, and she was a Jewish woman, and she wanted to know if she should, if she's allowed to be the architect of such a church. So I don't know, Rabbi Spiegel thought Rabbi Shechter would be the go-to guy in Avodah Zarah, so he got me I got him that number. I think at the end of the day he said it was Mutra. I don't remember the Svara exactly, but anyway, that's a bias of Avodah Zarah. So says someone who has a house that's some of the Zara and the wall falls down, you're not allowed to rebuild it. You're not allowed to build it back up. So what should you do? You need a wall to your house. Now you're just going to be looking right in on the base of the Zara. So what are you supposed to do? Konis l'tok shalo dal ramos ubona. You have to move in on your property four amos and build from there. Build from inside your property four amos. Hayo shalo v'shalav v'dzara nidon mechzal mechzal. Let's say it wasn't your wall that the Avodah Zarah just happened to have been used. The wall was half yours and half the Avodah Zarah's. You split the wall. Half of the space that the wall was on the property of the Avodah Zarah. So then Nidon Mechzal Mechzal. Then you measure the Dalet Amos from halfway through that wall, from the property line. Avonav ve'etzav ha'afar of mitam and kisheret. And the stones and the wood and the dirt from that wall is all mitame like a sheret. Shenemar shaketz t'shaktenu. The Pasuk says shaketz Tishaksen, which is Lashon of a Sheretz. Rabbi Kiva Omer Kenida. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's Metami like a Nida. Shenemar Tizrim Kamodava, Ma Nida Metami Masa, Avodzar, Metami Masa, that just like Nida is Metami Masa, so it's Avodzar is Metami Masa. So what are we saying over here? Our Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Akiva, Avodzar is Metami like a Nida, Bimasa. Here we have Rabbi Kiva's opinion repeated, but in the context of a sheet of the Chachamim who do not say that it's like a Nida. The Chachamim said that it's metame like a sheretz. Sheretz is not metame b'masa. Carrying a sheretz in a bag will not make you tame. Sheretz is metame b'maga. If you touch the sheretz directly, it will make you tame. So what's the status of the tumah of Avodah Zarah? Is it metame only b'maga, or is it metame also b'masa? So Amar Rabba, Tizram d'Amar Kra, Nachrinu minach kizar. Rabba said, no, when it says Tizram, means you should estrange it, you should keep it far away, like a zar, like a stranger. Say Tomarlo, you should tell it, get out of here. Hikane is al Tomarlo. Don't try to draw near to Avodah Zarah. The Omar Rabbi. Now we're going to have a Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar. I don't know if we can get to both opinions today, but Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, how to understand this Machlokas Tanaim. Again, we have Machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, whether Avodah Zarah is Mitame only b'maga or also b'masa. So we're going to have a machlokas amurayim, what exactly, what the precise machlokas tanaim is. So v'amar rabba, rabba and rabba Lazar are going to argue. V'amar rabba, rabba's shita number one. B'masa dukuliyam lo pligi dimitama, da'iskash lenida. Even the rabbanon agree that Avodah Zarah is mitame b'masa, because it is compared to anida. Ki pligi be'evan misame. Where they disagree is evan misame. Evan misame is, let's say you have a stone supported up on poles. So when nida sits on the stone, she's putting her weight on the stone, but there it's, since it's supported by the poles, anything that's under the stone, her weight is not pressing down on anything that's under the stone. So still, those things underneath the stone are going to be tame. So Bavin Masame, that's the real machlokas. Rabbi Kiva Savar Kenida. Rabbi Kiva says it's just like a nida. Ma nida metame Bavin Masame. Avodah Zarah metame Bavin Masame. Nida is metame Bavin Masame. Avodah Zarah is also metame Bavin Masame. For Rabbanan Savri Kisheretz, and the Rabbanan say no, it has a din like a sheretz. Ma sheretz lo metame bevin mesame, af Avodah Zarah lo metame bevin mesame. Just like a sheretz is not metame bevin mesame, so to Avodah Zarah is not. But when it comes to masa, everyone agrees Avodah Zarah is metame masa. So frankly, Marla, Rabbi Kiva, l'may hilchse iskish l'sheretz. What's Rabbi Kiva going to do with the fact that the pasuk does seem to compare it to a sheretz. So I'll say l'misham sheha. That's not for the avodah zara itself. That's for the misham she avodah zara that are metamik sheretz. L'rabbanu ma'hil seiskush l'nida. What do the rabbanu do with the fact that we compare it to a nida? L'masa. They'll say, yeah, it's compared to a nida. In there, it's metamik b'masa. V'luk shrachmanu l'nevela. If you want something that's metamik b'masa, but not metamik bev mesame, why compare it to a nida? Why not just compare it to a nevela? Sadmar enachinami. Elamani nida inaleivar nafe avodazara inaleivar. Now, what we're trying to say is that just like a nida is not metame aver by aver, if you take an aver from a nida, it's not metame like a nida, so to avodazara, if you take a single aver of an avodazara, it's not metame like avodazara. Velahadabai rachama barguria avodazari yeshnelevar no inaleivarin, tivshale mehadal rabbanan inaleivarin, but then we should be able to answer the shaila of whether avodazara is yeshnelevarin or inaleivarin, isn't metame aver by aver. We should now be able to come to a conclusion that from the Rabbanan's Shita that it's clearly not Le'evarin, because that's the whole comparison to Nida, is to teach us that it's not Le'evarin. So that should answer that Shaila. Answer Gemara, yeah, you're right, it should. According to the Rabbanan, it's clear what the Rabbanan would answer that Shaila. But Rav Chama Bar Gurya, libid Rav Akiva Baila. Rav Chama Bar Gurya wasn't interested in answering what the Rabbanan would hold about that Shaila. He was asking that Shaila within Rabbi Akiva. Would Rabbi Akiva hold Metame Evarim Evarim or not? So again, bottom line is, Rabbah holds, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chum think that Avodah Zarah is Metame B'Masa. The whole machlokas is it Metame B'Evin Mesame or not Metame B'Evin Mesame? We're going to see tomorrow Rabbi Lazar thinks that everyone agrees it's not Metame B'Evin Mesame. What they actually argue about is it Metame B'Masa or not Metame B'Masa? Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from Rabbi Lazar tomorrow.